Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, Miles Away listener, it's your host, Zach Honig. We want to hear your feedback about the show. What kinds of topics do you want to hear more of or less of? Who would you love to hear me interview? And what destination should we cover? Do you have a favorite episode so far? We really want to get your feedback, so please go to thepointsguy.com/podcast. Again, thepointsguy.com/podcast to learn more. And please let me know by May 1st. Thanks and safe travels. On today's episode of Miles Away, we are sitting down with Darren Murph. Welcome back to the podcast, Darren.
Thank you for having me.
And we are talking about the great state of Alaska, the 49th state.
It's the last frontier. That's all I know.
The last frontier.
It's amazing. It's huge. It's the size of the entire continental.
I've been twice in the summer, and Alaska's a really special place, probably any time of year that you go. But in the summer, it's especially interesting just because, I mean, you get a ton of sunlight. I remembered... We went for a happy hour in the evenings, and then just like the day continued on and on and on from there. I think the sun set after 11 p.m.
Yeah, so there's a term. It's the land of the midnight sun.
Land of the midnight
sun. Which sounds so, it's just poetic.
Yeah.
But in truth, it actually is the land of the midnight sun. I went to Dawson City by way of the Top of the World Highway, and there was a show we went to see there, and it didn't finish up until like 12:30, and we came out, and it was sunset. A.M. 12:30 A.M.
Oh my gosh!
Yes,
it's just like going to Norway. I experienced that. I went to Norway for the longest day, the summer solstice.
Yeah,
and I went up to Tromso, far in the north, just along the same longitude.
Yep,
is the northern part of Alaska.
Yeah, so
it's a pretty big state, right?
It's enormous. If you count all the islands that go all the way almost to Russia, and you transpose that on
the Aleutian Islands,
yeah, Aleutian. It starts with an A, not like illusion, like a magic trick. If you transpose that on top of the continental U.S., it would stretch almost from Maine to Los Angeles. It's nuts. It's so very large.
Let's say I've never been to Alaska. I've been twice.
Okay.
But let's pretend I haven't been there.
Okay.
What should I do on my first trip?
Here's the thing. You should go in the summer if it's your first time. Okay. The winter is amazing there, but it's bitterly cold, and you really need to weave the northern lights into your trip, or otherwise you're like, well, what am I doing here? Dog sledding is amazing. Northern lights is amazing. But that's all for like the second time. The first time should be in the summer, so you get these amazingly long days. So you're going in the summer. You need to decide between Anchorage and Fairbanks, generally speaking. Fly one or the other. If it were my first trip, I'd fly into Fairbanks, and I'd rent a car, and I'd do the Top of the World Highway. It's one of my most favorite things I've ever done. If you're into road tripping, or even if you're not, it's one of America's most quintessentially beautiful drives. So Top of the World Highway goes roughly from Fairbanks to Dawson City, Yukon. So you'll need to bring your passport because you're going to Canada.
Oh, yeah, Canada. Okay.
But most of it is in Alaska. So what makes this road so special is you're kind of on the ridgebacks of mountains for hundreds and hundreds of miles, and most of it's on dirt roads. So you are in the middle of nowhere for hours, hours and hours and hours and hours. And you go through this town called Chicken, Alaska. Okay. So as the story goes, the folks that first founded the settlement, there was a different way to spell chicken in their native tongue, but no one could exactly agree on how to spell it. So they just went with the typical English spelling, which is chicken. Chicken is one of the few towns you'll stop at along the way. It used to be it's like an old gold mining town, and you can still pan for gold there. There's not a lot happening there. You'll find a restroom and a few restaurants and a few RVers that are just way off the grid. But it's just it's just one of the few places where you can go that there's no pavement, there's no establishments. It's just so off the grid. But you just see the most amazing mountain ranges the whole way. And you end up in Canada, Dawson City. And when you get there, you can order poutine, and it's amazing.
Oh, man. So is that more of a remote experience?
It's very remote.
More wilderness?
It's very remote. But let's be honest. Most of Alaska is extraordinarily remote. And so this is just taking it to the extreme end of that. But Dawson City is a really cool place to go. And you get to go from Alaska all the way over, and you can say, you know, you cross the border and you change time zones. It's just one of those cool, like, extreme, off the grid, remote things. Like, I did the top of the world highway, and you can't do that in the winter because it's all snowed in.
So I guess you need to rent a car then.
You do need to rent a car everywhere. Do not go to Alaska and not rent a car. If you find an anchorage and you're like, oh, I'm just going to Uber around to the things. No, you're not. You're not going to do that. You need to befriend someone with a car or rent a car. Look, the state of Alaska is huge, okay? It will fit on the other 48 states just by itself, all right? You need a car because there's a lot to see. And you're going to need many hours to get from place to place.
Now, can you do Fairbanks and Anchorage on one trip?
You can. They're about 6, give or take, hours apart.
Okay, that's not crazy.
So if you have a long enough stay, like if you're there for a week or a week and a half, you could fly into, you could do a round trip from Anchorage and make your way up to Fairbanks. There's a ton of daily flights connecting them. It's like 45 minutes or so.
Mm-hmm. Why would you and who should choose Anchorage in that part of Alaska over Fairbanks for a first trip?
Anchorage is probably the more sensible location to fly into for a first trip. I love the Top of the World Highway out of Fairbanks, but that's kind of for the explorers. Like, you're going expressly for that. There's not a lot to Fairbanks itself. The only thing notable I can think about Fairbanks is it's right beside a town called North Pole. Like, it's actually called North Pole. North Pole, Alaska.
North Pole, Alaska.
Yeah, like that is actually...
I always pictured that being at the northern part of the
state. Yeah, but it's actually not. Like, Barrow and the oil fields are way, way up at the top. So North Pole is kind of a suburb of
Do they have a Christmas tree shop?
So they have this huge, huge Christmas shop that's open year-round. And obviously, in December, it's just manic. But also, halfway through the year, it's manic because they have half Christmas. So you can go at half Christmas, and there's like Santa's there. You can get a picture
Christmas
on his
in
lap.
July, right?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Christmas in July. And they have this massive gift shop where everything North Pole you can get. I mean, you can get a photo with Santa at the North Pole. I mean, come on. If you have kids, this is a no-brainer. So that's an amazing reason to go to Fairbanks. For everyone else, I would start the journey in Anchorage, predominantly because Anchorage itself is like a proper town. So you can find a few points properties there and some actually really good food. They actually have a ski resort there that's pretty decent in the winter.
Alyeska, is that what it is?
Alyeska is an awesome place. And even in the summer, they have a cable car that will take you up to the top of the mountain, and there's a restaurant there with just obscene
I
views.
Did that.
Oh.
And I had the Baked Alaska, and I saw I saw bear from the cable car.
Did you really?
I was so excited. My first bear sighting.
Amazing. Yeah. There are plenty of
I mean,
bear.
We have them in New Jersey, I guess. But
yeah, but they're not not the same. Yes. Right. It's like, that's an Alaskan bear.
Yes.
But while we're on the topic of food, I have to say, if you stop in Anchorage or the surrounding area, you have to go to Moose's Tooth. Moose's Tooth Pizzeria.
Okay.
All right. So there are people that
Sounds
are listening.
Crunchy.
Well, now that you mention it, there are people on this podcast right now that are like pumping their fist in the air. Yes. Moose's Tooth is legendary. It's almost good enough to justify a trip there. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. And they also have Bear's Tooth, which is a spinoff that they have like theater showings and things like that. Moose's Tooth is legendary, and it's one of the most remote pizza joints in the world, but it is phenomenally good. So if you end up in Anchorage, you have to go. It'd be a crime not to.
And Anchorage is really close to Denali National Park. Is that right?
It's Denali is kind of equidistant from Fairbanks and Anchorage. And that's why a lot of people that are making the drive from Fairbanks to Anchorage or vice versa will stop at Denali along the way. It's roughly halfway between the two.
Okay.
So you can make it a day trip from either city. But again, Denali itself is enormous. And in the summer, sometimes they have throttles on how many cars they'll let in. So you have to take a shuttle to kind of see some of the things. So I kind of prefer to go in the shoulder season where you can drive yourself in there and pick a hike from there. But in the summer, be prepared for crowds. I mean, it's amazing.
So who is the state of Alaska for? What type of tourist would you recommend it for? Do
it's,
you have to be adventurous and want to spend some time out in the wilderness? Or
yeah, you need to be the exploring type, the adventurous type. If you're going for nightlife and the cityscapes, it's the wrong place. You also need to be someone with time, and you have to have patience because Alaska is huge. So even getting from, let's say, Moose's Tooth to Denali, you're talking about 3 hours each way.
Uh-huh.
Like nothing is close together.
So this is you're keeping your fingers crossed for a rental car upgrade, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, I would definitely make sure you rent something that you're going to want to spend a lot of time in. Let's say we package Southern Alaska. Okay, so we have the Whittier Tunnel, which is an amazing place. Moose's Tooth, Alyeska, Homer Spit. All of these places are technically in southern Alaska, and most of them are like 2 to 4 hours away from each other. So you're going to need multiple days to do this right, but it's worth doing. I mean, you could go to Anchorage and spend a week there and hit a lot of this stuff, and it would be a trip well done. If you try to do Anchorage and Fairbanks in a week, you're going to cut a lot of corners, and you'll spend a lot of your time just driving. I would recommend segmenting those out because of just how enormous Alaska is. Whittier Tunnel is this train track that's built through a mountain. And so to get to the town of Whittier, you actually have to drive your vehicle through the train tunnel. So the only way this doesn't create complete calamity is you have to let the train through on the half hours, I think. And then on the 15 and 45, they let cars go back and forth. Uh-huh. So you have to queue up on either side of it to get to this like tunnel-locked town. Mm-hmm. It's this fishing port. It's worth doing just because you get to drive your vehicle on a train track.
Oh, that is cool.
Through a tunnel. Okay. And you're like, I really hope the train didn't miss the memo.
Yeah, I was picturing one of those platforms where you drive onto the platform and it just goes down the rails.
No,
the
like you control it.
You're driving on the tracks.
It's not like a ferry where you just park yourself on a shipping container. And no, like you do it, man. It's an adventure. It's amazing.
So how much should I budget for a trip to Alaska? Is it kind of an expensive destination? Are we spending, you know, a lot on hotels? Are you camping? Or, you know, what, kind of walk me through that.
There are plenty of national parks, a huge concentration of national parks in Alaska, many of which require a bush plane to get to. You can't even drive to it. And actually, the largest national park in the United States at 20 million square feet is Wrangell St. Elias. You can drive to that because it's 20 million square feet. You're not going to see too much in a week.
And probably parts are not even accessible.
They're right? Not. Yeah. And not unless you're just, you just go in there backcountry and just bushwhack your way through the park, which you can, but not recommended for most people. Generally speaking, Alaska is not the cheapest destination. In the summer, which is peak season, any of the hotels in the surrounding Anchorage area are outrageously expensive. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. And same for rental cars, especially if you want to get a four-wheel drive or like an SUV, because I know a lot of people want to do that top-of-the-world highway. And you can do that in a basic standard car. It's just not very enjoyable. So the SUVs are usually priced pretty egregiously. So it's something you need to budget for. But the magic of Alaska, I've been a lot of places, and it's just incomparable to anything else. There's just something special about it. The mountains there, the remoteness is just incredibly beautiful. It's worth doing. I would recommend doing it with a group so you share some of the cost.
It's much easier to justify
an SUV rental if you're splitting it 4 or 6 ways. Mm-hmm. Same thing with lodging. You can find Airbnbs out in the middle of nowhere. And if you can split it with 1 or 2 other couples, your dollar goes a lot further.
So do you pick Fairbanks or Anchorage kind of as your base camp and then do day trips from there? Or would you kind of spread it out? Almost like a trip to Iceland where you're staying at different places kind of as you go.
A lot of people do pick Anchorage as a base. And there are a lot of tour companies that will take you out there. I personally think you're the better tour guide. I really like the self-guided part of Alaska. If you just go to Alaska and you get on a tour bus, you're not really doing it justice.
Yeah.
Half the fun in Alaska is getting in your own vehicle and just exploring it on your own. So when we went, we spent a few days with Anchorage as a base, and then we did that top of the world highway drive to Yukon. So we just dedicated a full day getting to Dawson City, and we spent a few days in the Yukon before heading back.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about flights and hotel options. And one thing I want to touch on, too, is that you'd be surprised, but looking at a map, Alaska actually seems almost as close, if not maybe even a little bit closer to Hawaii than the west coast of the U.S.
For sure.
So it could be potentially even, you know, a stopping off point on the way to Hawaii.
It's actually, you know, it's funny. We were talking on a Seychelles episode a few episodes back. So if you haven't heard that, listen to the Seychelles episode. Alaska is an amazing sort of stopover, kind of an in-between if you're coming from the East Coast, to have this amazing mountain adventure and then continue on to an island paradise.
Which is crazy.
It's crazy, but you need to pack a lot.
Yeah, you need a check bag allowance, I'd say, right?
Because what you wear and need in both places are completely different, even if you're going in the summer. But, you know, that's why you have cards with free baggage allowance. Mm-hmm. You can sneak Alaska into a Hawaiian vacation.
Obviously, Alaska Airlines is, you know, the predominant carrier there.
Yeah,
even though they're based in Seattle.
Yeah.
A lot of the intra-Alaska flights are operated by Alaska.
Yep.
Or Horizon Air.
Horizon, Pin Air, okay. A few of those smaller carriers to take you to some of the real remote places.
I actually did a Pin Air flight to Unalaska.
Dude, I want
to
hear this. So Unalaska is on my bucket list.
It's
there's another
so
name
cool.
for Unalaska. What's it?
Oh, my gosh.
Dutch Harbor?
Dutch Harbor. That's Dutch it. Harbor. Yes, Dutch Harbor. Yeah. So the airport code, I think, is DUT for
yes,
Dutch Harbor.
That's right.
But the locals seem to call it Unalaska.
They do.
It used to be part of Russia.
Yeah.
It's on the Aleutian Islands.
It's extremely close. It's actually
very close to Russia.
I think it's closer to Russia than it is Anchorage. It's
oh,
way
it,
out
it
there.
It really is. Yeah, yeah. And you're out there. It was, about I think, about a two-hour flight from Anchorage on a turboprop, so we weren't going at jet speeds.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It was still a hike, and I did a day trip there because it's a very – I was really intrigued. It's a really expensive flight to pay cash for.
Incredibly expensive.
$900 to $1,100 round trip.
Yeah.
But I was actually able to book it for, I think, 15,000 Alaska miles.
Amazing.
I don't know what the current rate is, but this was a couple years ago. But what I had seen just a couple years before I visited, this video had gone viral of, I think it was a Walmart or some kind of big store. They actually have a large store. It's a grocery store. I think it's a Walmart. And in the parking lot, someone had a pickup truck and they had brought their groceries out and left it in the bed of the pickup truck. They went back in to get more things. They came out and there were 50 bald eagles surrounding the car, diving in and just stealing everything out of the back of the pickup. And I'm like, I've never seen a single bald eagle, let alone dozens of them together.
That's quite possibly the most Alaska thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But it's
they're everywhere there. And it was so cool. I mean, they were fishing for salmon and they're aggressive.
Yes.
They were circling me at one point.
Yeah, they're like the monkeys in Malaysia. Like, if they get your lunch, you just got to
oh,
give
my
it up.
God, yeah. You're like, please take everything. Here's my wallet, too. Yeah. You don't know what to do with it, but stay away.
So, yeah, there are a ton of shorter flights to really remote regions of Alaska once you're there, if you have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a ton of these towns that are completely disconnected from other towns by road, so you have to fly from one to the other, which in and of itself is just a mind-boggling concept if you live in the mainland. Because that just doesn't happen. I mean, whole communities aren't just cut off from each other. But out there, it's just, it's how
they
live.
It is wild, man.
Yeah. It's like you have to get take a plane to most of these places.
And a lot of the locals live in really remote areas, and they actually fly themselves around. They've got seaplanes.
Yep.
And
yep.
if they want to get, you know, to see their family or to the doctor, even sometimes to the grocery store, they have
it's
to fly
plane.
There.
Yeah. It reminds me of in the Maldives, where all of those islands are obviously disconnected from one another. People just have boats and they just consider it part of their day-to-day life of just getting in a boat and going to another island. It's the same thing in Alaska, but with planes.
Yeah.
It's wild.
The Sheraton is where I stayed. And from one part of the Sheraton, you have a view of the kind of the inner city Anchorage airport.
Right.
And there's just a ton of prop planes, like one after the next after the next. And it seemed to me like it's locals that are just coming
locals.
Into the city for their, do their banking or, you know,
and there
going
are,
to happy hour, maybe not happy hour and then flying. But
they have a lot of people out there that just run that as their business. They just charter locals from place to place because it's... It's like coming to New York. You need a cab. If you go to Alaska, you probably need a plane.
Yeah.
One salmon bed to the next.
Coming up after the break, we're going to talk flight and hotel options.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So they're obviously Alaska Airlines, and if you have Alaska miles, you can use your miles to get to and from the state of Alaska.
Yep.
Every major U.S. airline also has flights, and JetBlue does as well. I don't think Southwest flies to
Alaska. Not yet.
Who knows? Maybe one day, but...
Yeah, they've got Hawaii now, so you never know.
Yeah, but JetBlue does, I think, Long Beach to Anchorage, I believe.
They might. I don't know. I've never flown them there.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
The legacy carriers do as well. They've got
for
limited
sure.
flights, but sometimes you can find, not wide-body planes, but you can get lie-flat seats. So if you get 757s on American or Delta, you know, you might be able to get a lie-flat seat.
In the summer, Delta runs a seasonal, I think, Atlanta to Anchorage flight, which is pretty long.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the config on that is pretty sweet, given how long you're in the plane.
United's got, I think last summer they did daily Newark Anchorage as well. it's not as long as you'd expect. So if you're flying to the West Coast and then up to Alaska, it's going to take some time.
Yeah.
But if you're flying from the East Coast nonstop, you're going over Canada, and right. it's a lot more efficient. Don't quote me on this, but I think it's around 7.5 to 8 hours to get out there.
Tops.
Whereas
Tops.
If you're connecting on the West Coast, you're going to add a lot of yeah. time.
The other thing is you actually get 4 hours back because it's an additional hour away from the Pacific Coast.
So. Right.
It doesn't feel as long when you land there. You get some of that time.
Yeah.
Back.
So somehow, if you somehow get to piece together an amazing award trip, fly yeah. from the East Coast to Anchorage nonstop, get yeah. one of those lie-flat seats, and then go down to Hawaii.
It's actually one of my favorite redemptions to tell people is to book a multi-city award ticket. So East Coast to Alaska, and then spend a week or so there, and then Alaska to a Hawaiian island. Even the legacy carriers, some of them have to connect back through Seattle, but there's a surprising amount of flights that go from Fairbanks and Anchorage to all of the Hawaiian Islands. Mm-hmm. They're incredibly well connected. Obviously, people that live in Alaska love to go to Hawaii.
Oh my God, that's a dream escape.
Yeah. So if you end up there, you get to latch onto that leisure travel.
Imagine almost 24 hours of darkness in the winter.
And then escaping to Hawaii. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and then just connect back home from Hawaii. And so that's a dream destination. My wife and I, we had an anniversary trip in August a few years ago where we spent the first week in southern Alaska. And then we flew onto Hawaii from there. And I think we did Molokai and Lanai on that trip before flying mm-hmm. home. That was a sensational trip. It was about 20 days total.
You're the only person I know that's done Alaska and Hawaii on the same trip.
It's a must. You're already over there. You're really close.
Yeah.
If you've gone all that way, you just might as well go to Hawaii. I'm a sucker for Hawaii. Any excuse to
Before we wrap up, what about hotel options? I stayed at the Sheraton. I wasn't blown away, but it was a pretty decent value on points because I did go in the summer. And, yeah. I mean, the cash rates can be really high.
They're really high. I've seen it as high as like $350 a night for that Sheraton. Uh-huh. Which is and I think they even charge for parking there. You're like, for real?
Yeah, right,
There's
exactly.
There's infinite square footage in Alaska and they charge for parking.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, points on that hotel is pretty solid. Cash is a terrible deal. The advent of Airbnb, I actually think it has helped Alaska disproportionately, and that's a good thing because there are so many amazing cabins in Alaska that people use as second or third homes that mm-hmm. they just aren't in for the most of the year. So now that they can rent them out to explorers, you get to stay in these amazing places that are built like up on mountainsides that no one would build a hotel there.
Oh, yeah.
So Alaska is tailor-made for Airbnbs, especially if you're piecing together a really long road trip, because it's nothing to have two destinations in Alaska be 200-400 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to use one place as a home base, you're just going to drive yourself crazy.
Are credit cards pretty widely accepted in Alaska? I'm pretty sure they are from
yeah.
my experience. But what
yeah.
about Yukon?
They were there. Yukon is actually
pretty well connected.
Fairly well-developed town. It kind of reminded me of Fairbanks in terms of its size. It just looks like a super old Western town.
Uh-huh.
So they have changed nothing about the aesthetic, which is amazing. But everything underneath of it, infrastructure-wise, is well-connected. Hotels take credit cards there. Restaurants take credit cards there. But you feel like you are a million years. It's like the Wild Wild West. You've walked right back into it. Actually, the last leg of that Top of the World Highway, when you actually cross into Dawson City, the town, you have to get on a ferry. There's a tiny river that kind of disconnects you from mainland Yukon to Dawson City. And instead of building a bridge over it, I mean, it's, I don't know, 300 feet. They're like, we're going to put a ferry here. So you get a quintessential Wild West ferry to take you all the rest of the way into Dawson City.
Oh my God.
Highly recommended.
Yukon was not even on my radar, and now it is.
It should.
I'm going to have to go.
You have to. And it's complicated to get to Yukon by itself, and there's not a whole lot of reason to go
and those,
there.
Those intra-Canada flights can be really expensive.
Really expensive. But the secret is fly into Fairbanks, get a rental car, and do the Top of the World Highway. It's unforgettable. And you get to visit Canada while you're there and get poutine and... It's just phenomenal. Pan for gold. I mean, come on.
Darren, if anyone wants to follow along with your Alaskan, Hawaiian, and worldwide adventures, where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Darren_Murph, and I'm on Twitter at Darren Murph.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast. Safe travels, Darren.
Absolutely. See you again soon, Zach.
That's all for this episode of Miles Away. Thanks again to Darren Murph. This episode was produced by Margaret Kelly and Caroline Chagrin, with editing by Ryan Gabus. Our music is by Alex Schiff. If you've been enjoying Miles Away so far, please subscribe, rate, and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you choose to listen.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.